Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, May 14th, and it is 1:30 p.m. This is Talk on the Rock. In about 2 weeks, a group of people, about 18 of them, will be venturing off on a canoe to paddle to Juneau for Celebration, which is one of the largest Southeast Alaska Native gatherings. It's a biennial festival held by Sea Alaska Heritage Institute. The last time people paddled to Celebration from Wrangell in their own canoe was in 2014, so about a decade ago. Other communities will meet in Wrangell as well this year to make the paddle journey. Today, we're going to speak to two people who have done it before and who have paddled before and are doing it this year. We have John Martin, who is part of the Mariners Memorial Committee, Port Commission, and he taught in Wrangell Public Schools for 25 years. And we also have Corey Marsden in the studio. Corey's from Wrangell, currently living in Juneau, and he's going to school to be a marine biologist. So you can call in to ask a question. The number, question or comment, the number to KSDK is 874-2345. Hi, John and Corey. Thanks for coming in and chatting with us, with me today. How are you both?
Not bad. It's thank you for having us here.
Yes. How are you, John?
I'm looking forward to this opportunity to share some information. And again, it's nice to be here with you.
Likewise. Thanks so much for coming in. I'm looking forward to hearing about everything as well. So let's talk about your first canoe journeys. Do you remember what year they happened? What were they like? Where did you go?
My first one was in 2012, which technically didn't start here in Wrangell. We took a breakaway boat over to Cake, where we met up with the canoe that Search and One People Canoe Society had for us. And then went all the way up to Juneau over the course of 5 days, I believe, five or six. And landed in Auk Rec, Auk Bay area up in Juneau for Celebration, running just a little behind schedule, but that was fine.
And John, what about your first canoe journey?
Okay, my first journey was after I'd gotten out of the Coast Guard in 1975, I believe it was. And my brother and I took a little trip down the Yukon River to a tune of about 800 miles. And had such a good time. Another brother and I launched in Seattle, in Wrangell, and pulled out in Seattle 43 days later.
How long was the Yukon River journey?
A little over 800 miles.
How many days did it take?
You could make about 50 miles a day, you know, so it's 26, 28.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So what was that experience like? Down the Yukon.
Again, it was fueled by dreams and just wanted to get out and be on that river, all its history and wonderful paddling. And it was intimidating. They've got some swift spots you have to deal with and stuff. But the weather was beautiful. The river was kind to us. And we just had a great time.
What month was that about?
It was I think about the 5th of July, 6th of July.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Corey, what was your journey like?
It was, you know, I was very excited to start and get going. And then I do distinctly remember that for most of it, I could not wait for it to be done. I was so tired. Mm-hmm. We did not have great weather that time. Definitely made some use of the safety boats because there were some really, really bad waves out there, but as soon as we hit Auk Bay and we were going in, you could just see, oh, it must have been 300-400 people lined up on the beach singing, calling us in. And at that moment, it was just, I was so happy I'd gone, which is why I'm very excited I can go again this year.
Wow. So you mentioned the waves and the safety boat. How did that happen? Like, how did you get out onto the safety boat?
Very carefully. So we it was a hard decision to make the call, which thankfully it was not my decision. I probably would have called it sooner, but, you know, having to say we can't do this on our own and we need to pull up alongside the safety boat, it was a bit tough because we had to wait another 45 minutes before we could actually make it onto the safety boats when that happened. So we had to find a nice little cove where the waves weren't too bad. We don't want to be bashing these nice, big, beautiful canoes up against a seiner out here. And so we had to make sure that everyone could get off safely. We didn't want people ending up in the water. We're not in the tropics. It's not warm. But once we got everyone on board, we kind of made sure we towed the canoes behind us with one or two volunteering to kind of hold the weight of the canoe to make sure it didn't flip behind us, and just trucked along until we found some calmer water, and then we pulled them back up. Everyone piled back in, and we started again. So the weather made it hard, but it was nice to get those little breaks in. I was not 6 foot one like I am now, and it was hard on the arms.
How old were you?
This was 2012, so I think I just turned 14 couple months before it.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't even think, you just can't hop onto a safety boat at any moment. You have to, I didn't even think about crashing into, you know, another boat.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, other than what you've said, what are other memorable things that have happened during your journeys?
For me, when we loaded up and left Wrangell to go to Seattle, and we left Ketchikan, got out in the Gulf area around Cape Fox, got into some heavy seas. I think if I could have been able to stand up in the canoe, I would not have seen over it. So we didn't have anywhere to land. We paddled for hours and finally crash landed on the shore. And as we lay in there spitting sand out of our mouths, I mentioned to my brother that it was pretty tricky out there in that big ocean swell. And his response was, "What's the matter, John? Were you scared?" And yeah, I was, but I didn't say anything. I just got back at him and informed him that he hadn't said anything for 2 hours. And so, but that was pretty interesting little part of it.
Yeah. So the waves, Corey, you mentioned this waves as well. They're very, like, big then.
Oh, absolutely. You know, down where John was at, you're kind of just leaving Southeast Alaska and hitting a big stretch of open water towards British Columbia. So I am thankful we are headed north. We're going to stay in the archipelago. So it does diminish the size of the waves that we'll get, thankfully, because of the barrier islands we got. But you know, these aren't easily tippable canoes. They're big, they're wide, they're meant to go through these waters. You know, these are our people, we're building these for thousands of years. They came close to perfecting it, I think, though nothing's ever perfect. And that's why we've got the safety boats coming along, because while we are all very hoping for nice, beautiful weather, this is Southeast Alaska, so probably gonna rain a lot.
Yeah. And your journey to Celebration in 2012, I believe you said, mm-hmm. that was in June?
It was, yeah. So Celebration always falls in the month of June. The specific time does change a little bit, but it's usually the second or third week in the month, every other year.
Okay. And can you share another memorable moment you had on the Celebration, the journey to Celebration?
So on the journey to Celebration, I've got two pretty important ones that were actually on the same night, and we were supposed to be one day away from Juneau, and we're all in the boat, we're paddling, we're tired, we left Angoon 12 hours before this, it's getting dark, and all I can remember is people constantly asking, "Are we there yet?" And it became a running joke that somebody from one of the other canoes would always go, "It's just around the next point." And for 50 miles, it was just around the next point until finally someone said, "No, we're not making it today." Pulled into this nice sheltered bay, no wind going in there. We all pulled up to the safety boat and started having dinner. And, you know, this is on the western edge of Admiralty Island, which I wasn't too happy to be sleeping on a tent on the beach with the bears. But before we got there, I look over the side of the boat and there is just huge swarms of squid everywhere flashing around in the lights from the safety boat. And I think I must have spent an hour just laying on the deck looking at those because I didn't have the energy to move anymore.
Wow. Was that nighttime then?
It was nighttime, yeah. By the time we made it into the bay, it must have been close to 11 o'clock at night, getting those nice summer hours, long days and everything. But the floodlights from the safety boats were just bringing the squid straight up to the surface.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Definitely memorable. So, Corey, you have done two landings and one canoe journey. Can you talk about the landings?
So the landings is, that's essentially what the people in Juneau are going to be doing when we all pull up for celebration. They're going to be the people, we're the ones on the shore of the end point, and it's our home. So here in Wrangell is where I did those two landings at, one in 2013 for the rededication of Shake's House, and then again last year for bringing in the Hokulea. And for us as essentially the home team, we go out and greet them. We ask, who are you? Where do you come from? So that we can figure out if they're friends, people we've never met before, or an opposing tribe. And then if we're friends or we become friends, if it's someone we didn't know, we would invite them to shore. We would come back in first. So it's much shorter than a journey. You know, we're only paddling out in front of town and back. But then we stand on the shore and we do the call back and forth again before we let them step on land. And traditionally, or at least what I was told in 2013, is we would all get out and carry the canoe up on shore with the captain still in it. I hear we're possibly this year, which is, I'm happy for. Those canoes are not light. they're, how big are they this year? 30 feet?
39
feet.
650 pounds.
Yeah, I don't want to lift those. but it's an experience, especially after doing the long canoe journey first and getting to see the opposite end where you don't have to put in all that extra effort to get to the end point. But it does kind of make you miss the journey that you had going through this area where our ancestors paddled for thousands of years. So definitely doing the canoe journey first was, I'm glad I did that.
Yeah. And John, you have over 4,000 miles of paddling, right? 5,000, sorry, 5,000. I wish there was visuals through the microphones, you know, like a map that everyone can follow and then hand movements and stuff. So 5,000 miles. And would you say that how often do you go on a canoe journey then?
It's had some broken parts in it, but for the most, it's every other year, I guess.
Wow.
We go up into Canada and wander around and find something to paddle.
What about the last one?
What was the last one? Oh, it might have been the Nahanni. And that's pretty interesting because it's in two sections. In midsection, there's a 300-foot waterfall. And they fly you in, and you land on the top of the waterfall, and everything's cascading below you. And they jump out and tie it off so you don't get washed out of there. Then you have to hike your gear off the hillside and down around to get in there. So.
Yeah, so you don't float down the waterfall. What's another memorable canoe journey you've had, John?
Well, I was tickled to death when I served on the hospital board for 17 years or something and had the wonderful opportunity to help hire the Pozunkas when they came to town, and Steve was an avid paddler, and I'd never seen people like that had gear like that, and I just got thrilled with it. But he took us down the Peel River, so it's 11 days and some considerable white water, but you'd right in the middle of it is a 6-mile portage. So you got to carry all your gear, your canoes, and everything for 6 miles. It took 2 days for us to get to transit that area and get back on the river. And I remember him coming over, and I'm laying on the beach at the end of my shift, and he says, "Are you all right?" I said, "Yeah, why?" He says, "You look like you had a stroke there." So that was enough packing that stuff.
Yeah. 2 days of carrying the canoe plus all your other gear.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yes. So both, you are two of 18 people who will be paddling on the canoe going to Celebration. Full disclosure, I am joining you both too. So so there's two more weeks to go. How are you feeling about this upcoming journey?
Like I said earlier, I am very excited, but I'm also a little anxious just because I only got back to town last week from Juneau. I haven't made it to any of the practices yet. And I'm scrabbling to make sure I have all of the gear that I'm going to need in order to go. I left my really nice waterproof bag up in Juneau, and so I'm just going to be bringing a water resistant duffel bag. So I'm probably, I'm just really hoping nothing gets super wet, but, I should be good to go. We practiced for a couple weeks last year for the canoe landing. So that's all still fresh in my mind. I'm hoping it's fresh enough that I don't mess up everybody else's journey.
Yeah. And you're going to practice, right?
Yes. Yes. I didn't make it to the last two just because I didn't know what days they were on Saturday, and I fell asleep yesterday after work, so I didn't make it. But starting this, the next one's on Saturday, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was a sleepy kind of day yesterday. How are you feeling about the upcoming journey, John?
Actually, I have some little minor anxieties about what's going on. I'm certain it'll all unfold and work well. But for you, this canoe they're bringing in looks like it's loaded with waterproof duffel bags.
Oh, goody. Okay.
And we're going to have something a little different in the canoe. We're going to do a power run and get some mileage in until we can get to the hurt point. Well, not really, but
wow.
We'll act like it. But just get an inkling of what a day's going to be like.
Yeah. So the first day, everyone's paddling to Petersburg.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the other, by heart, where the other spots everyone will land at? Up to Juneau?
No.
That's fine.
You know, finding hard set points to stop is, it's a bit hard when we don't quite know how fast we're going to be going yet and how many miles we're going to cover. And it sounds like if we're cutting through the Wrangell Narrows to go to Petersburg, well, Cake is right on the opposite side of the island from Petersburg. So it sounds like we might go around them, and either if we take the eastern side of Admiralty, then we won't have another town to stop in. But if we cut across the top of Mitkoff, we might stop in Angoon. But there's nothing between Angoon and Juneau. So that's a lot of sleeping on beaches or safety boats.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of wilderness.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so...
If I could...
absolutely.
The Petersburg is going to be an interesting challenge for your first day out, because it's technically 40 plus miles run through there, and a lot of currents and tide changes and stuff. So tentatively, we'll leave here at 6 in the morning and then make it to Point Alexander, and the tides are going to change, and in a dream world it'll start going through the narrows, and we'll jump on that train and paddle with it to a place called Summit. And the Summit's interesting because you have tides coming in from both sides, so we might have coffee break there. And
oh wow.
And then it's a swift run from there when the tide leaves and heads out by Petersburg, and we'll deal with like I said, some heavier currents and whirlpools and stuff that'll be fun to negotiate.
Yeah, yeah. Why did you, so why did you decide to join this journey, John?
Well, another fellow and I were looking at each other saying, this might be the last chance. But no, if some friends won and they assured me they wouldn't let the old guy get left out there somewhere, so this is the one to do.
Yeah, yeah. What about you, Corey?
I've wanted to come back up and do a canoe journey for several years, ever since the first one, but I moved down south to Portland, Oregon for 6 years. This is kind of my first time back home since then, and so I'm obviously jumping on the first chance I can get to do this journey again. Hopefully be able to come back every 2 years to do it, keep doing it, hopefully keep it alive in Wrangell, because that last big break we had was a little sad.
Yeah. John, you're going to be a skipper, right? For the canoe?
If you tell me so, yeah.
Can you explain what that means?
Well, that's the individual that's kind of responsible for the day-to-day operation of the boat and ensuring its safety and make sure we're on track and what we're doing, supervising steering, and that's kind of a tricky thing to do. But, yeah, just kind of keep things in order, keep it safe for everybody. That's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And they referred me to as the chief, so I don't know what I am. So.
Yes. And we were talking just before 1:30. And you, did you mention there might be 3 skippers?
Well, I'd like to see us have a cluster of 3 paddlers or pullers that are moving up into the skipper's position, at least the helmsman steering the craft, and develop those skills, because they're just on the verge of being ready to go.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. And then, Corey, you're a puller, right? Mm-hmm. A puller is a paddler.
Yes. It's a lot of brute arm strength, and you better hope you've got some good rhythm, because trying to keep pace with everyone, the people in front of and behind you, and the person to your left or right, depending on which side of the canoe you're on, you don't want to be hitting people. It's happened before. It happened on that first journey. It happened on the landing last year. Especially, you know, I'm a pretty tall person. I've got a wide wingspan, and so I've had some trouble elbowing people, and 4 days into a journey, it can be a little annoying. 6 hours into a paddle to constantly being splashed, and so it takes some good rhythm keeping. For the strength portion, you know, I've just started doing some exercises in the morning to hopefully keep my shoulders in good working order through the whole way. But other than that, no decision making, which is perfect.
Is there anything else I'm missing when it comes to explaining what else is involved with paddling a canoe?
It's you have to be cooperative, and that's where the kindergarten teaching experience comes in, and keep things in order. But yeah, I'd like to comment that there's 18 people in that boat, but it's a wonderful collection of people. And there's a lot of kindness and humor and whatever else we need to get through the day. But they're looking after each other, and it's going to be fun.
Yeah, thank you. What does a typical day look like during the journeys?
On the one that I went on, typical day generally started around 4:35 in the morning. Leaving Wrangell for Cake, we left pretty early in the day and didn't get to Cake until dinner time, which is where we actually started canoeing. But, you know, there was a big party celebration, potlatch, while we were there, for all the canoes getting started, and then push off at about aiming for 6 is what we were trying to do, and usually ended up leaving about 7 a.m. Mm. And then you are just paddling and paddling and paddling, and breaks get thrown in. I don't know if we've kind of set times, if we want to stop every 4 hours or something, but there's usually a break for lunch where we just kind of float in the water and eat some food that if we didn't have it with us, was thrown from the safety boats, and you hope you catch it before you pick up again. And you know, the real important part of the safety boat, besides making sure our canoe doesn't flip over, or at least making sure we get out of the water if it does, is they're keeping track of where we are. You know, they've got the nice GPSs on board, and so staying close enough to them so that we know where we're at, and determining, have we gone 10 miles today or did we go 50 miles? Because it's hard to tell from the water just in a canoe. And so the days kind of get paced on how far we've made and how much time we have left to make it to the destination. So sometimes you're pushing really, really hard pretty late into the night.
Oh. Okay. Anything else about a typical day, John?
Just ready to get started.
Yeah. How has the paddle practice been so far? It started in April, right?
It's been impressive. And we paddled the last few times, and we would pass people on the dock or in boats, and they were all waving and carrying on. And the comment you hear is, they're fast. They're fast. I think that whole flurry, when you get those many paddles synchronized and you got a good cadence, they look like wings more than they do paddles. And so we mm-hmm. actually look faster than we are.
Okay, so what are you both looking forward to on this journey?
For me, it's getting the chance to, you know, step into those shoes again of my ancestors, do something that they did, but also, you know, I've been gone from Alaska for several years, and getting the chance to go through and see those smaller towns that I don't really get to go to. While I'm living in Juneau, I don't have a job that takes me around Southeast. So getting to stop in and say hi to people that I haven't seen for over a decade, is definitely going to be exciting. But just being back out on the water, definitely something I'm very looking forward to.
Yeah. What about you, John? What are you looking forward to?
Well, anytime I have an opportunity to go for paddle, my body just feels that it's a neat feeling. Learn that you can do anything you want, just one day at a time, and that's where it shows up in the paddling, is you just take one day at a time, and you can walk through to the end of it and find some real satisfaction there.
Yeah. What is celebration like?
I have not been to a celebration since 2014. So it's been about a decade for me. But before then, I went for 6 in a row. I was a dancer for JOM here in Wrangell as a child. And from what I remember, it was very, very busy, especially because Juneau is now getting about 4 cruise ships a day. And that'll be happening while we're there, plus the 20-ish thousand people who tend to show up for celebration to take part. And there's, for us at least as paddlers, we show up, there's the big beach landing, singing, greetings, all of that. And then following is the grand march. All the dance groups that are coming through will march. And then there's separate smaller things going on for different dance groups where they showcase. There's artists set up, there's kind of a farmer's market for indigenous goods made by indigenous artists and things. And I believe it lasts 4 days, 5 days?
I think it was 4, yeah.
Yeah, 4 days. And then by the time you're done, it's just kind of walking out going, whew, I hope I remember that next week, because you're so tired by the end. It's just go, go, go.
Yeah. What's celebration like for you, John?
I'd been to the one and was impressed with the numbers of people, and I was impressed with the sea of red, white, and black dance regalia and stuff. Pride is a big item, you know, and we have some dark spots in our history, but to see people out there just celebrating
yeah,
who they are, and to march down Main Street, you know, and show the world. And for those of us that came in the canoe, so much better.
Thanks for both of you coming in, sharing your experiences. So there will be a community potluck on May 28th, which is a Tuesday, at the Nolan Center for Everyone. It's to send off the paddlers who will venture off in the waters early the next morning. There is a fundraising account at First Bank called Wrangell Canoe Community. Anybody who wants to donate can donate there. Next, we are going to hop into World Cafe.